Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Since I'm doing the second part of the Tao Te Ching, the way in its power, I should say Happy Interdependence Day. Because if independence doesn't rest on interdependence, things get all mixed up. People really end up hurting themselves and hurting each other. Without saying any social commentary about that, I don't need to because you know what I mean. So first, I'm going to recite the second few stanzas. I did the first few last time, and in my talk on at the end of August, I'll do the next few. They're in the chat box. So you guys can read them there if you want. I'll recite them and then I'll talk for them. So this is again part two of the Tao Te Ching, the way and its power. So I'm going to read part two. I mean, I did these parts arbitrarily. It's a long prose poem. A long prose poem. The valley spirit never dies. We call it the dark womb. Fill your bowl to the brim and it spills. Chased after security, and your mind will never unclench. Make your effort and retire. This is the path of serenity. Can we coax our mind from its wandering? Can we make our breath soft as a baby's? Can we polish our mirror so it's free of dust? Can we live and love without imposing? Can we be like a bird with her nestlings? Can we light up the world without knowledge, producing without possessing, promoting without controlling? This is mysterious virtue. 30 spokes meet in the hub. Where the wheel isn't is where it's useful. Hollowed out, the clay makes a pot. Where the pot's not is where it's useful. Hammer wood to make a room. The inner space is what makes it livable. So now I'm going to talk phrase by phrase, not spending much time on many of the phrases, but delving into a few of them. And I ended my last talk with the valley spirit never dies. We call it the dark womb. The womb of being, called Tathagatagarbha in Buddhism, the womb of Buddha, Tathagatagarbha, our own womb, the womb of our mama. The valley spirit never dies. We're in it and it's in us. We're in it and it's in us. And of course, in Taoist philosophy, that's the yin. That's yin. It's spaciousness of the valley with high sides that protect us, giving birth to all life. All yang energy returns to it, comes from it. And we can experience it in heart mind, in hara, which I can't show you because I can't show my whole posture, in tian, jian tian, tan tian in Chinese. The valley spirit never dies. We call it the dark womb. Never dies. Never, never, never. Whatever is happening to us, we're protected by that womb. That womb that is encompassing us and also right here, right here. The valley spirit never dies. We call it the dark womb. Fill your bowl to the brim and it spills. We run around, don't we? All the time, trying to find just the right this, just the right that, just the right the other. And that's okay, but we kind of overdo it and we forget that we're protected by this stillness in here, this darkness in here, and that's where our light comes from. And this womb gives us energy, always energy. even during COVID, the energy was here. Now we're post-COVID and we're moving around. Now I was going to go to Yellowstone with my grandkids when they come here, but I read there are more people in Yellowstone than there are in Denver right now. Everybody wants to get out. Everybody, oh, that's natural. We've been in the womb for a long time. We want to get out. But let's not get frenetic. The womb's here. We don't have to get frenetic about it. I understand people have been getting in fights at Yellowstone about the traffic. People have been beating each other up. We do that as human beings. Fill your bowl to the brim and it spills. My son was about 10. I told him we were going to go to California. We were going to this amusement park that he had read about. And it was Minnesota had nothing like that then. This is many years ago. My son's more than 50 now. And he got really excited. He did all the prep work. And then he was running around in the amusement park and we were exhausted trying to check everything off on his list to see that he'd gotten everything. And he ended up at the end of the day exhausted and crying. As adults, we're kind of like that too sometimes, in case you didn't notice. We need more. We need more. Instead of returning to the dark mama who's supporting us right here. But she's always supporting us. She never lets us down, so we can always return to her. The valley spirit never dies. We call it the dark womb. Fill your bowl to the brim and it spills. Keep sharpening your blade and it blunts. Fragile, our blades are fragile. They break easily if they feel disconnected from yin, from interdependence that's right here in our bodies. We force our bodies and minds into feats beyond their capacity. So many of my friends blew out their knees sitting meditation over the years. And I was lucky because I was just as forceful as they were. Somehow my knees didn't blow out. That's kind of overdoing it. But we wanted to do it right. We always want to do things right. So not too many people are doing that anymore. Luckily, people are taking lots of different postures now in their meditations. But people say, oh, but you have 18 days that you require people in priest training to do a year. That's too sharp, isn't it? Well, if you don't practice returning to silence, how can you feel the silence that's here? It's your own mama, right here, your own mama. You have to practice steeping yourself in silence, even if you don't feel it. For the first day of retreat, for the second day, for the third day, you just keep steeping yourself into it. Doesn't matter how long. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. No, I know it's relevant to you because you want to get something, but you don't need to get something. Here it is. Here it is. So next weekend, there's going to be a retreat. Oh, you won't want to go to it, most of you, because you want to get out. I understand that. And I feel that too. I feel that way too. But to get out, to really be out and enjoy being out, we need to know in. We need to know our own dark womb. We need to relax into her. Relax into her. Steep in silence so we realize we've never left. We've never left. The valley spirit never dies. We call it the dark womb. Fill your bowl to the brim and it spills. Keep sharpening your blade and it blunts. Chase after security and your heart mind will never unclench. I've been talking a lot lately about neuromuscular locks. We all have neuromuscular locks. And as long as they're clenched, we don't realize we're always being supported here. All life is supporting us. We can't live authentically. We're always looking for other people's approval to get up to find our security. We become the prisoner of our image of how people treat us, or how we think we should be, or how we want to be, instead of being who we are, just being who we are. So I've been quoting Lin Shi lately, Rinzai, bring the true person of naked red flesh forth. We get imprisoned by what we should and shouldn't do, how we should and shouldn't think, or should and shouldn't speak, or even should and shouldn't feel. And nothing you can do about how you feel. You feel how you feel. You feel how you feel. Should yourself all you want. Shouldn't yourself all you want. You feel how you feel. And if you do that, if you just allow yourself to do that, you feel the support from mama, right here, mama. And the only shoulds that I think are important are the ones who help us let the person of naked red flesh come forth by sinking into the womb, by steeping ourselves in silence. That's my bias, but you don't need to believe it. just try it. But the problem is you have to keep trying it and trying it and trying it. And we get impatient, right? Chasing after something, you want something. Well, then we get decide to get ordained. Now, as a priest at Zen Center, I've ordained quite a few people over the years, and Ted and Ben have too. And then we think, oh, I need to be more pious. I need to be more, do things more right speech. But if we try, if we get a neural muscular lock on being good, Katagiri, my first teacher, or my second teacher, excuse me, Katagiri Roshi, called that stinkiness. Stinkiness. Stinky Katagiri, he said. Caught by the image of who he should be as a priest, you get stinky. Conceal your own naked red flesh, but it's here waiting to come forth. So in Zen, in our tradition, we repeat something three times. So I'll repeat it three times. Bring the person of naked red flesh forth. Bring the person of naked red flesh forth. Bring the person of naked red flesh forth. Chafe after security and your mind will never unclench. Make your effort and retire. This is the path of serenity. Make your effort and retire. Retire from worrying about the past and future. Retire. Doesn't mean you shouldn't plan and have beautiful memories, but retire from worrying about that stuff. Do your womb practice. Steep yourselves in silence, so you can discover that you already are silence, that you already are and always have been. 18 days, 38 days, you have to do a lot. I'm sorry, you have to do a lot because your minds are so blah, 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 blah. Mine too, blah, 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 blah. Make your effort and retire from comparing yourself to others. Comparing yourself to me, that's ridiculous. I started practicing before most of you were born. Don't compare yourself to me. Compare Wu Wei. Wu Wei, doing, non-doing. That's what Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu always talk about, the two original Taoists. Wu Wei. Noticing what your lock is, noticing where you're locked, and breathe all the way around it and through it, and it unlocks on its own. Mama is always supporting you. You've never left your womb, but you feel like you've locked out, but you've locked yourself out of the womb. You've locked yourself out. Make your effort and retire. This is the path of serenity. Retire from worrying, of thinking you can change or fix or figure out everything. You need to figure out a few things. You can change a few things. You can fix a few things. But mostly in Zen practice, we're just in watching our own Breaking Bad movie. How many of you watch Breaking Bad on TV? Raise your hands. Only three out of the first group. I'm not surprised. It's awful. It's wonderful. It's really well acted. I did acting in college. It's really well acted, but it's awful. Do you think it's worse than your movie? I only started watching it just 2 weeks ago because of my son, but I won't get into that. We'll watch together. Father, we're watching a movie. Well, that's what you're doing when you're sitting on your cushion or you're sitting in your chair, you're watching a movie. Sometimes it's Breaking Bad. How much of the time is it Breaking Bad? Do you want to admit how much of the time it's Breaking Bad? But it's just a movie. It's only a movie. It doesn't need to get you. There's some teaching in there, but it doesn't need to get you. This is the path of serenity. The path of serenity. These thoughts and images and feelings that pass through, we don't own them. They're not mine. You don't need to do anything about them. As long as we stay in our meditative posture and remember that we're always supported by our Buddha nature, our mama's womb, we're like, okay. We're okay. We might have to remind ourselves over and over again about that. That's fine. And you don't have to wait until you're my age to retire. You can retire right now. You can retire at 20, 21. I'm not talking about giving up your career or not being ambitious. I'm not talking about that. Ambition, career is all wonderful. I'm talking about retiring from getting all wigged out about anything that goes on in your mind. Just a movie. So when my teacher said to me once, my first teacher, Suzuki Roshi, said to me once, he said to me, the group, I can't remember, so long ago. He said, just sit with me every morning and your garbage can will empty. He said, just sit with me every morning and your garbage can will empty. Don't just sit with me every morning and your garbage can will empty. Although these days, I'm not sitting with you every morning. I just had my 78th birthday and I'm sitting in a chair at home and not sitting at 5:45. So sit with Ted every morning. He's the young whippersnapper. Sit with him every morning. And don't get stressed out about emptying your garbage can. Oh, I'm not doing good enough. It's not getting empty. It's still full. It's the third day of retreat. Come on, you guys. Come on. Don't try to get something. Just be here. Settle in. It empties itself in its own way, in its own time. Just be here. It empties itself. And as I've been saying over the last few years, one of the ways to help you retire is laughter, right? The Taoists bring to Buddhism to create Zen laughter. Read Chuang Tzu. He does nothing but tell jokes. He does nothing. Now, I can talk about him later. Right now, we're doing Lao Tzu, the Tao Te Ching. He does nothing but tell jokes. Because when you laugh, your neuromuscular lock opens. When you really laugh, especially from your belly, it opens. It may only open for this long, but that's good enough to empty your garbage can, at least for the time you're laughing. Laughter helps you retire. So there used to be somewhere in our building a picture of my second teacher, Katagiri Roshi, where he was just one big grin. Just one big grin, an ear-to-ear grin, and that's all we saw. So in Buddhism, pre-Zen, there are six classes of laughter. And in the Buddha statues, pre-Zen, Buddha usually has just a little smile, you know, upraised lips like this. That's considered in pre-Zen Buddhism, before the Taoist influence, the most spiritual kind of laughter. Comportment of the gentleman or the gentlewoman or the priest or the nun. A little bit of laughter, not too much, not too much. But then Taoism reverses it in Zen, reverses it. So the highest class of laughter, which would just go like this, is replaced with the lowest class of laughter, which is pronounced, let's see if I can see where it's pronounced, atai hashita, uncouth, physical, sensual, boisterous, raucous, rolling in the aisles, hysterical. If you knew either of my Japanese teachers, you know what I'm talking about. And locks us neuromuscular, doesn't it? So my story that I've told many times, but some of you will bear with me, but many of you have never heard this story. But I've told it many times. I invited my teacher and my grandmother over to have dinner, Linda and I did, at our house. My mother was a devout Catholic, and she knew that I had a priest who was training me, and she was interested in meditation. She wanted to meet the priest. So I said, sure, we'll have him over to dinner. So we had him over to dinner. He was wearing his black traveling robes, and he had his shaved head, you know, as all of our Japanese teachers did, and many people still do in the United States, many, many priests. We had a little cat, a little black cat. And as soon as he got in the door and sat down, the black cat started batting at his ropes. You know, they were hanging down, boy, batting at his ropes. And pretty soon, Suzuki was batting back at the cat. And of course, I've told this story so many times that it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And now Suzuki and I, all I see now is them rolling on the floor together, batting at each other hilariously. I don't know if that's true, you guys. I don't know if that's true. Probably not, but that's my memory. So the next day, my grandmother called me and she said, dear, thank you for having me to dinner with your priest. She said, you did say he was a priest, didn't you, dear? And that's because of his behavior with the cat. You did see. And 6 months later, she said, well, how is your relationship with your priest going, dear? Well, you did say he was a priest, didn't you? Yes, Grandma, yes. My grandma supported my meditation. Nobody else in my family did. She did. So wonderful. Her Catholicism was Catholicism in the big sense, you know, what it means, Catholicism, all embracing. She was really like that. But she never believed Suzuki was really a priest because his behavior was not decorous enough, right? This is the path of serenity. Make your effort and retire. This is the path of serenity. Can we coax our mind from its wandering? So when I used to teach intro to meditation, I would talk about the mind being like a puppy. And the puppy, a new puppy. I haven't gotten a new puppy in a long time. New puppy. You know how a new puppy wanders all around the room, tears up the newspapers, pees on everything. But you love the puppy, so you just call the puppy back. If you're mean to the puppy, then puppy will never come back. It will never come back. And if it maybe it will come back, but it'll be all cowed. It won't be alive. So you just bring the puppy back. You just bring the puppy back. That's our whole practice, our whole meditation practice, coaxing our mind from its wandering. And then we can hold the puppy in our lap. Maybe it won't stay very long, but maybe it stays 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Wow, wow. It settled down into the comfort of our womby support. It's not stupid. It knows about the womb too. It knows about the womb too. Can we coax our mind from its wandering? Can we make our breath soft as a baby's? The Greek pneuma, breath, the Latin spiritus, Holy Spirit, to be in good spirits, to be in good breath. Synonyms, the Sanskrit prana, breath, life energy, filling the cosmos, is the cosmos. Hindu scripture that says, all creation is Brahma's breath. All creation is Brahma's breath. All creation is Mama's breath, the breath that comes from the womb, the breath that comes from the dark valley. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't we lucky? Aren't we lucky? One of my wife was pregnant with our two kids many, many years ago. We practiced breathing for, you know, it seems to me like we practiced, but again, my memories, it's so long ago. My kids are older than most of you guys are. It seems like we practiced for 3 months before she gave birth every day, but probably we didn't. I'd have to ask her. And since I was going to be there, I practiced with her. We practiced together. Sometimes we held hands practicing. And then when she was really giving birth, boy, did I have to hold her hand. Because she was, talk about pain. You think sitting still for a day is painful. Ugh. Watch someone you love give birth, or even give birth yourself. But the dark womb is always giving birth to us. She is. She's our own love. Is it her love or our love? Loving, love giving birth to love. It doesn't know. It don't even know the word. It doesn't know the word. Oh, that's fine. Love, okay. Love, L-O-V-E. Doesn't know. Just giving birth to inner being, inner being. So in Chinese, Chinese pictograph, early Chinese, the pictograph for breath has two characters. One is steam and the other is rice. Rice and steam. Steaming rice. If you really want to cook rice the way I was taught to teach it by my wife, although I forgot. My wife always tells me, she said, remember when when Aaron, when we were rushing to the hospital, and I was going to give birth to Aaron, our second child, she said, remember asking me, remind me how to cook rice? Linda, she said, that was not a good time to ask me that. And she said, I had practiced with you over and over again. I'm sorry, but I knew I was going to be myself for a while. I had to eat rice. So she's been teasing me ever since about that. Anyway, nourishing quality of rice. I was going to put it on the screen, but I didn't. The character of steaming rice. One character is steaming, the other is rice. And that's air, that's breathing. That's the breathing of rice. That's how rice softens. That's how it nourishes us. Breath soft as a baby's. Breath soft as a baby's. Makes rice warm and digestible. My mother used to give me cream of rice whenever I was sick. Campbell's tomato soup for dinner. Back then we just ate canned soup. We didn't know. Woomy rice for breakfast and for lunch. Oh, felt good. I felt so supported when my mother served me my rice. Rice cream, I don't know. Yeah, rice cream. You know, the Japanese do rice cream too, but they call it cream of rice then. Rice cream, cream of rice must be the same. Huh? Continuing. I'm not going to go too much longer. Can we polish our mirror so it is free of dust? Can we live and love without imposing? Can we be like a bird with her nestlings? Like a bird with her nestlings. A lot of birds around our house lately because Linda has been putting out bird feeders and got a bird bath. Lots of birds. Wonderful. Wonderful. So a mother bird, she nurtures and supports and she empowers. But that means she has to kind of kick the baby out sometimes to empower. Kick the baby out so the baby can discover its own power, its own jiriki in Japanese, its own power. So my two teachers, both of them nourished me. They nourished me. They nourished me. They supported me. And then they kicked me out some. I didn't like it, but they empowered me. Katagiri Roshi told me to give my first talk, and I thought, yikes, I don't think so. I don't think so. I didn't say that to him. He'd already ordained me, so I knew I had to give the talk. I signed up for this ordination thing. I had to give a talk. Yikes. Push me out of the nest. Watch me give my first talk, and I had my robes on, and then he came afterwards and he straightened all my robes because I'm very bad at doing that kind of thing. He straightened them all up. Nobody saw that he was doing that. Only me. We need mentors. We need mentors. We all do. We have this mentor program at Zen Center, but all meditation practitioners need nurturance, need support so they can tap into their own power that comes out of their womb, out of their still nature, out of their Buddha nature. Can we polish our mirror so it is free of dust? Can we live and love without imposing? Can we be like a bird with her nestlings? Can we light up the world without knowledge? Knowledge is good, but we get so overburdened with concepts. And the only knowledge that really helps us as Buddhist practitioners is the knowledge that helps us aspire to meditating and returning to the womb. Aspire to returning to the room. Whether we meditate or not, the womb's here. Just aspire to returning to it. And through our aspirations, we're able to open up to the five primary neuromuscular locks I've been talking about lately, which I'm not going to talk about this morning because time's almost up. Fight, flight, freeze, fold, and identity. 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 So starting Tuesday, I'm going to be teaching a class of, we're going to be reading the Vimalakirti Nirdesa Sutra, and I'm going to be teaching a class in which we'll go through the whole thing. And this is a sutra, all of these sutras go back to the first, second, third century, and they're all pretty weird. They're pretty weird. When you read them, you think, what is going on? What is going on? But for people in the first, second, and third century, those were ways that they had to unlock neuromuscularly themselves. So we use them, we teach them, and my job as a teacher is to point out how what he's doing when he does all this stuff, he does lots of magic, how it helps us unlock with our concepts and return to mama. So I hope you'll sign up if you haven't signed up. Hope you'll sign up. Can we light up the world without knowledge? Producing without possessing. So I was in a retreat with my first teacher once at the end of a rahatsu, that's a 7-day retreat. And he said in his talk the last day, he looked at us and he said, I think I have a pretty good crop of apples. What? Where his crop of apples? And then he laughed. Yes, he said, yes. And he looked around at his, I think I have a pretty good crop of apples. What is he, Johnny Appleseed or something? Suzuki Appleseed? Then he laughed uproariously. Then we all laughed. And we kind of liked being his good crop of apples. Kind of made us feel, I mean, if you sit for a whole 7 days and somebody tells you you're good, even if you're just an apple, you're happy, especially the teacher. Laughter means we're able to practice without possessing, means we're able to act without taking credit, means producing without possessing, acting without taking credit, promoting without controlling. I've been in charge of everything for my whole life. CEO of two organizations, CEO of my younger siblings. They didn't behave well enough, but I did my best to CEO them. I still want to CEO them. CEO of Zen Center for 20 years. Yes, that's me. That's me, but I'm not guiding teacher anymore. Ted's guiding teacher now. And often he does things that I just think are not the right way, but then I have to do my own neuromuscular unlock. unlock my own. And if I can laugh about it, then there's no ill will. There is no ill will if you can laugh. I'm not talking about sardonic laughter. I'm not talking about sarcastic laughter. I'm talking about this kind of laughter from the part of my heart, belly that you can't see. That comes from your practice, from settling in to mama right here, the deep womb of mama. Producing without possessing, acting without taking credit, promoting without controlling. This is mysterious virtue, says Lao Tzu. Virtue, te, it also means power. Virtue is power, and power is virtue. Jiriki, self-power, the power that comes from the womb. It's also virtuous. We behave virtuously. We do. We behave kindly because we feel this connection to everyone and everything, even Breaking Bad in our own movie. Oh yes, that's Breaking Bad because it had some bad experience. So just let it break bad. don't fight with it. Don't need to do anything about it. Can we light up the world without knowledge, practicing without possessing, acting without taking credit, promoting without controlling? This is mysterious virtue. Our jiriki, which is also tariki, because this valley spirit never dies. I don't have time to explain that, but some of you know that. We call it the dark moon. And then the last few phrases, which I only talk about for 3 or 4 minutes, since it's 10:42. 30 spokes meet in the hub. Where the wheel isn't is where it's useful. Hollowed out, the clay makes a pot. Where the pot's not is where it's useful. Hammer wood to make a room. The inner space is what makes it livable. So this is Taoist emptiness. Emptiness in Taoism is spaciousness. Even if there's only this much space between each thought, that space, if you breathe through it, is huge. And sometimes the thoughts will be running so fast, there's no space, but there's always space underneath them, on top of them, and between them, even if they seem out of control. That's the Taoist idea. Clear sky mind comes from Taoism. All the clouds come through, all the storms come through. The sky is still clear. Emptiness, emptiness. We empty the garbage can so we can return to the room. Womb and help others from the womb. This is different from Buddhist emptiness. Buddhist emptiness is based on asvabhaha. Nothing has its own being. Nothing has its own separate being. Everything is inner being. It's all inner being. It all comes out of the womb. It's all part of the womb. It all is the womb. So from that, from a Buddhist point of view, a full garbage can and an empty garbage can are just oscillations in the wonderful rhythm of inner being, because emptiness and inner being are synonyms. On the other hand, they're both the same. And when you read this Chan text, the Zen text, you don't know where the Taoism is and where the Buddhism is, and you don't need to know. It's probably good for me to know because I'm a teacher, but even while I can't figure it out, and I don't know in Chinese, so it doesn't matter. They're both the same. Both the Taoist emptiness and the Buddhist emptiness emanate from our spirit that never dies, your own spirit, your own breath, the breath of the universe. Aren't we lucky? Aren't we lucky? Aren't we lucky that we embody it? And if we forget we embody it, all we need to do is come back to the breath, and it embodies itself. It embodies itself. So I think that's what I'd like to say this morning.